Do you have a client-based business that needs streamlining? Acuity Scheduling, a Squarespace company, is a scheduling tool you never knew you needed, but you always wanted. No more mixing up time zones for remote meetings. Reduce your no-show appointments and keep everything organized in one hub. We here at Poptar Lounge are avid users of Acuity Scheduling and a proud affiliate. Sign up for Acuity Scheduling today. Visit the link in this episode's blog post to sign up for an account.
Hey everybody, this is Andrea Pizzillo, and you're about to listen to my interview on Pop Nerd Lounge.
Hi, and thanks for tuning in to Pop Nerd Lounge, the podcast for the creative soul. I'm your host, Steph Pham. Dear Nerd, we are nearing the end of our sixth season. This season has been filled with so many amazing chats, and it would mean a lot to the team if you followed us where you listen to podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and we'd appreciate it if you give us a follow. Today, I'm speaking with a skilled hairstylist and grooming guru. She's worked with Derek Hough, DJ Khaled, Harry Shum Jr., The Weeknd, on top of a lot of other amazing personalities. In addition to grooming, she also runs a nonprofit organization called TraitWorks Foundation. We talk about how she took her career to the next level, why she was inspired to create her organization, and we talk about quarantine hair care. This is Andrea Pizzillo. Welcome to Pop Nerd Lounge. My guest today is Andrea Pizzillo. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thank you for having me today.
Before we get into your backstory and a little bit about your background, can you tell our listener who might not be familiar what the difference between hairstyling and grooming is?
Yeah, it's kind of all under the same umbrella, but grooming is specifically for men. It comes from the UK is kind of where the term comes from. So for me, it encompasses hair, skin, nails, just the whole garb for men. But traditionally, I believe it's just hairstyling for men, including a beard and everything. Beard, facial hair, head hair, all of that, right?
So we have to take that into account. Yeah, like whenever you're dealing with men, you have to take in the whole package.
Yes.
So how did you get into hairstyling and grooming?
Yeah. It's a fun story. I mean, I've done hair for 15 years, so I've really had a range within my career, and that's been fun to have such a versatile career that I've been able to do hairstyling behind the chair. And then about 9 years ago, I can't think off the top of my head, but I came to Los Angeles, and then I really switched into grooming once I came here. So I've had a range of working with 90% women when I was in a salon, and then now freelance working with 99% men. So, but how I got into it, for at least grooming, when I moved to Los Angeles, I assisted a groomer. I had met her, I'm from Seattle originally, I had met her up in Seattle, and we were working for the same hair product company. She was one of their global educators. She's an incredible one. And I came down to LA and I didn't know anyone. And so I reached out to her and I said, I'll do it for free. Let me just assist you. Let me learn whatever I can. And so she let me come with her to set and just learn. And I had already been doing hair for quite some time, had a full clientele in Seattle. And I loved it. I had an eye for grooming. I had a awareness of just how to be on set and all of that. And so I really kind of just took off in that world pretty quickly, which was fun. Yeah.
Did you have any kind of educational training with hair and grooming, or did you kind of just get into it in the real world?
Yeah. I'm a licensed cosmetologist. So I did go to school. I went to beauty school out of high school. And then I actually assisted or kind of worked at a barbershop right out of beauty school. And then I went to high-end hair salons in Seattle and kind of progressed from there. I've had extensive training through Vidal Sassoon and Paul Mitchell and many different companies. So as well as different hair shows that we have, and you can go to those and learn, and so many resources now online that I never had when I was in school. So yeah, never stop learning. That's like one of the biggest things.
And you mentioned that you're originally from Seattle. So what drove you to relocate to LA?
Yeah. Well, I loved being behind the chair, the relationship that I had with my clients there and everything. I really enjoyed that, but I wanted to do something different. I wanted to branch out. I always saw my career being a little bit larger than life. And so I wanted to do more fashion, which is funny that I moved to LA versus New York, but I wanted to do magazines and I wanted to do editorial work, commercial work, things like that. Those are the reasons why I came out to LA. It wasn't for celebrity work, although that's really all that I do now, but it wasn't originally for that. It was originally more just editorial.
And you mentioned that you were in celebrity work and you've had a very impressive client list. I checked out your website and you have an impressive list that you worked with. Is there anybody in particular that's been really fun to work with?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all my clients are, I have really been blessed to have just some amazing clients that are just so kind and value my artistry and trust my decisions when it comes to their hair and grooming and such. So, I mean, anyone, I couldn't pick one person. I mean, even who you saw me do the live with. So any one of my clients I could pick for that. I've really just had, it's really awesome just to be around people that are excellent at their craft, no matter what it is. You know, even in Seattle, I had VPs and CEOs, and just to be around anyone that is excellent and kind of revered in their craft, that's really awesome to be around.
You talked about wanting to do editorial work. How important is branding and marketing in the grooming and hairstyling world?
Yeah, it's really important. I would say it's really important because it's pretty much like 80% that and 20% your skill level. I believe my skill level is, you know, excellent, but it doesn't really take that. It's all about how you get your name out there. It's all about the impression you make when you meet people. You know, of course, marketing, but in a specific way. It's not just giving your card out, right? It's building relationships. I think that's the biggest thing. Social media is a great tool. So marketing is very, very important. Something I could always do better in, but it's definitely an important aspect, especially if you're in a salon. Editorial marketing isn't as important because it's a smaller group of people that kind of pick from within the circle for who they want to work with. And so you could market as much as you want and maybe not branch into that. That's more of the relationship building. So I guess that's another form of marketing, right? Relationship building. So yeah.
And that's a really good point to hit on because I feel like when you're dealing with the hairstylist or a groomer, like the relationship between client and the hairstylist, it's like you guys form a bond whenever you're in that chair or whether you're behind the chair. And so it could be like playing 6 degrees, whatever. If somebody they know is looking for a hairstylist or groomer, they're like, oh, you know what? I'll refer you to my person because I believe in them. I trust in them. So it's very much like forming that relationship and developing strong connections whenever you're working on your craft. What advice would you have for people who are a little bit more introverted and they want to work on their networking skills?
Well, you know, listening is probably the biggest thing that I could recommend. I think sometimes a lot of introverted people, I can be very introverted at times. The room can seem so big and you don't know where to start. And you know, it just seems so intimidating in certain circles or such. But I would say anyone wants to be listened to, right? Everyone wants to be heard. So if you meet someone, just ask questions and listen. I think that's my biggest piece of advice. You're not only going to be learning something new about somebody, but you're also going to be showing them respect, and that builds relationships. So less of what do I need to do to impress somebody and this is so intimidating, and more of just being genuinely interested in learning something new about someone.
And that could be refreshing for that person because I know a lot of times people are seeking favors from certain elite people and then they don't get the opportunity to share a little bit about them or to, you know, just to have people kind of connect with them beyond asking for a favor. That is like incredibly important. You are a founder of the TradeWorks Foundation. How did you conceive this idea to start TradeWorks?
Yeah. Giving back has always been part of like, it's just in my blood. It's just something I've always wanted to do. I feel like we're on this earth to do that. Like, I feel like, yes, we're supposed to make money and all of those things, but we're also supposed to help our neighbor. So TradeWorks is my nonprofit. And we teach youth that cannot afford schooling, disadvantaged, typically at-risk youth. We teach them skilled trades. By we, I mean volunteers that are excellent at their craft, barbers, hairstylists, musicians, producers, anyone creative that wants to teach someone else. They come on our trips and they're able to teach in these intensive workshops for the youth. We then provide internships that we pay for, scholarships we provide. We supply the tools to start their craft. It's a really awesome nonprofit. And I don't say that because it's mine. I say it because so many people get to join in and really just help support the next generation. And they get to use their skills and the craft that they've been given to uplift another person. So that started with, you know, traveling the world and seeing that I went to Africa once, I went to Uganda, and I remember being in a beauty school and seeing, like, they have like two combs for the whole school, like one book. The girls are sitting on the ground braiding hair on like the oldest doll head. And I was like just shocked because, you know, you grow up in whatever world you know. And I paid my parents at that point, you know, got a loan and we paid for beauty school. And I got a kit. I got a kit with everything I needed. I had a great school. I was able to learn everything I needed to learn. And to see that that's not worldwide, to see that someone might go to a beauty school and not have any tools to start their career in and not have the proper books to learn from. So I saw that and it was kind of just like a little fire started within me of like, you can change this. You can do what you can to make a difference within this. And then I went to Jamaica and did that for 3 months. I taught at some beauty schools and I supplied them and it's pretty incredible. And coming back from that, I was like, oh, I want to open this up to some other people doing this with me. I thought it was just such an amazing opportunity that I really wanted to pass it along to fellow creatives and just see where it can grow. Now it's a nonprofit. I never pictured myself. I am like so far from a like corporate person, 9 to 5, like that is not me. I am creative head to toe, but I now run a nonprofit and it's beautiful, you know, and I do that along with doing grooming. So.
And what has the experience been like working with these communities of and educating these underprivileged youth?
It's been out of this world. It's been so beautiful to meet a younger generation from different cultures, to see how hard their life is, like things that you couldn't imagine. And they still have like a hope. They still want to learn something. Everyone chooses to come to our workshop. They're not forced, right? They're like, they might not have anything, but they're like, I still want something for my life. I want to make a difference. I don't know how it's possible, but if they did it, maybe somehow I can do it. It's just, you know, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And none of it has to do with how, of course they're respectful and everything, but none of it has to do with how they treat us. Of course, you know, most of the youth are very grateful and all of that. And then some of them are just really troubled and they have a hard time showing care or gratefulness or any of that. And none of that's taken personal, right? It's all a part of the journey. And it's like my job teaching someone or giving back is not for their reaction. You know, I do that because I know it's what I'm supposed to do. It's because I'm just planting seeds. And if it grows a harvest, it grows a harvest. My job is not to like expect back, oh, thank you so much or any of that, right? It's very much just like, if we do our part, then the rest will hopefully flow from there.
Absolutely. It's like that one saying, I'm going to totally butcher it, but it's like that saying where like you catch a fish for a man and he'll eat dinner that night, but if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. Kind of that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you give them the skills, they'll be able to provide for them and their family for a lifetime. And I think that's so wonderful. I think that's what we need in the world.
I think it's definitely the teaching a man to fish theory for sure. But it's also, you have to, for these youth, you have to also show them that they can fish. It's one thing to say, this is how you fish. It's another thing to believe that I can go out fishing, that I can get a boat, or that I can stand on a rock and I can throw my pole in and a fish will come. It's a whole nother thing. And so if someone's been kind of held down under poverty and there's so much that comes with that. Just teaching them to fish is beautiful, but it's not enough. They have to also believe they can, right? So we're also intertwining that, the motivation, the self-love, the self-worth and value, and the belief of dreams coming true. We're also kind of intertwining that within our workshops as well.
And I see that. I think I was watching one of your videos on YouTube, and I think one of the kids who were part of your program said, "Thank you for giving me confidence." And I found that so beautiful because, like, it's exactly what you said. You can't just be taught the skills. You have to be taught to believe in yourself that you can do the skills that you've gained. And I think that's a lesson that we all need, honestly, because we can go our whole lives learning, but it's that belief and that confidence that we can do whatever we learned is a whole separate thing. Entity.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're all under quarantine right now. And I know a lot of us, especially me, we're missing our hair people for sure.
Yeah.
And so what has it been like to be a hairstylist plus groomer in quarantine? What has that been like for you?
Yeah. I will say this, that the appreciation that we've received has been so beautiful. Sometimes you just need a little pat on your back, you know? So the love that all of our clients and just social media wide has shown us as hairstylists and barbers and groomers and everything has been, makeup artists, nail techs and everything. It's been so beautiful. I really appreciate it. Sometimes you don't know your value until people just like remind you, like, hey, you are essential. The government might not see you essential, but you are essential. So it's just a reminder of like, oh yeah, you do make people feel really great. And they want to feel great right now. Being in quarantine, you know, it hasn't been that bad. I've done so much to keep myself busy, but I've also done these really fun live videos with some clients and friends where I've taught them little tricks to kind of trim their own hair or style their hair or, you know, take some weight out, things like that. Not do full haircuts, but at least make it so they can look in the mirror and be like, all right, I can take on this day. So yeah, that's been really fun to do. It's just, you know, finding resources, right, to still do your craft, even though we can't see each other, but this digital world makes that possible. So that's been really fun. Yeah, that's been a great thing. Also, I've been cooking a lot, and I see this on Instagram is like everyone's baking bread right now and doing things that take like 20 hours to do. But I think there's a correlation between hairdressers and chefs. Like most hairdressers I know would also be a chef if they could. So most of us have also been in the kitchen this whole time, just trying new stuff, working with our hands, I guess it is, right?
Yeah. And I find that fun because, I don't know, we need to stay creative. I know that, like, I absolutely will tell people, hey, if you need to take a beat, if you need to take this time to work on yourself, to give yourself a break, absolutely. But I'm the type of person that I need to stay creative, whether it's journaling
yes.
or like, I don't know, learning singing. I'm trying to teach myself how to become a better singer.
I love that.
And so, yeah.
I should do that. I've always wanted to be a better singer.
Dude.
Wait, I should be
Yeah, it's so fun. Like, I've been learning through the Musician app. It's just about keeping yourself occupied and keeping yourself creative, because that's us. Like, we are wired to be creators and to create things.
Yes.
And I know that we are in a limited space right now, but it yeah. shouldn't stop us from creating.
I've definitely been doing my hair every day more than I ever do my hair. I'm like, well, let me try this and let me try that. And yeah, so there's definitely been ways I've been coloring in those adult coloring books, realizing that I'm really terrible at staying in the lines. I just never learned that into my, now I'm 35 and still don't know how to color in the lines, but you know, so it's been fun.
So speaking of doing hair, what advice would you give us on how we can maintain good hair health until we can see our hair goddesses and gods again?
Yes, yes. Okay, a few tips I have is, well, because we're not going out in public as much, deep condition your hair. I mean, a lot of times people don't deep condition their hair because they're like, oh, I have so much to do. And what do I do for the hour that the conditioner is sitting on my hair or the 20 minutes or whatever? Now we have that time. So deep condition your hair is a huge tip that I have. I also suggest like massaging your scalp while you're watching TV, you know, catching up on Netflix or whatnot, massaging your scalp and bringing those oils, pulling the oils through your hair. I suggest also trying some new styles, like getting creative and like being in the mirror with a curling iron or a flat iron, or even just trying some natural styles, seeing what your hair will do naturally. Yeah, there's so many different things we can do right now to keep ourselves busy and also keep our hair healthy. So those are some of the tip that I have is go on YouTube and kind of find maybe a natural remedy. There's so many different masks that take like coconut oil and avocado and then you mix it together. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that's one of them, but it could be. It sounds like those would be good, right? To eat or to put in your hair. And so doing different things like that, I think would be beneficial. Now we have the time to just be caring to our hair.
Yeah. And the more we care for our hair now, by the time we get out of quarantine, we're just going to look great. We're going to look fabulous with our hair. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Same with our skin, right? So I work with a lot of men and their skin. So the same thing with your skin, you know, no one's going to see you for a few days. Put a mask on. You don't have to show anyone, you know, take care of your pores, use your moisturizer, wash your face, take a bath, you know, Epsom salts, all of that stuff. There's just so many different things we can do for our skin that maybe our hair's in a bun today, but we want to have glowing skin and we want to feel refreshed. So there's so many ways to do that as well.
Now I feel like I need to do my face mask tonight. I'm like, I'm going to get my face mask on tonight.
Yeah, I've been doing so many. my skin's probably like, no more mask. Yeah.
So you mentioned cooking. What else have you been doing to stay creative? And you mentioned coloring books. Yeah, what else have you been doing?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the whole Star Wars saga.
Wow.
in order of like how they're supposed to be seen, you know, I don't know. I've read books, coloring, cooking. I have a park that I socially distance walk and run at right here. So I've been doing that, cleaning a lot, catching up with friends, right? It's crazy how this time has allowed us to catch up and connect with people more than we normally do. In Los Angeles, and especially in Hollywood, you're just go, 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 go all the time. And so you don't have a lot of time to connect with people, or there's always an excuse or whatnot. So it's really great to be able to have that time to like do a group FaceTime with my family or, you know, those things.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's so weird. People would think that we're not connecting with each other now that we're not able to see each other physically in person, but it's the exact opposite. I've been like FaceTiming my friends and I've, you know, been staying in touch with people more, just kind of sending them texts and everything, just checking in on them, seeing if they're okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, this time has allowed us to be closer to one another, even though we're not physically in the same space.
Yeah, I know. It's fun. We can get creative. I did a socially distanced picnic with a friend of mine and she had her blanket and I had mine and we had our own food and we were like 6 feet from each other. It was like, hey girl, how you doing? She's like, I'm good, girl. How you doing?
That's so awesome.
So it was fun.
I love that. If you could teach a master class on any subject, what would you teach?
Oh, that's a good question. If I could teach a master class on any subject, you know, I think it would be, okay, this is going to be off topic of grooming. Because, so for a lot of my career, I was in the salon, 90% women, and of those women, majority were African American. And I worked with a lot of naturally curly hair, relaxers, all of that. So the biggest thing that I faced working with naturally curly hair was a lot of breakage, a lot of women that have just struggled for years on how to have healthy hair. Their hair has just been troublesome for so long to them, not knowing what to do or how to do it. So I would teach a masterclass on just hair. And this could be general, this could be for men too, you know, whatever. But of course it'd be hair. And maybe it'd be broken down to like health of hair. The health of hair, like how to keep your hair healthy would be like a huge master class I would teach. And then finding the hair that works for you, for your bone structure, for your face, you know, all of those things. So it would probably be a master class to the client of like, this is how you, you know, it's not that much of a mystery. Let's just unpack it all and show you how to do it. You're still going to want to come to us because you don't want to have to do your hair all the time. But like unpacking the behind the scenes of your hair and taking out all the mythbusters. How about that? Hair mythbusters. That would be my master class.
I would sign up for that because I love my hair girl. Shout out to Maureen. I love you, girl. I miss you.
Shout out Maureen.
I love my hair girl, but like I always ask her, what's like the best style for my face shape? And I'm Asian. How do I go about Asian hair? Like let's break it down. Let's unpack it. I'm like, yeah. Girl, like, let me just unpack all these secrets about my hair. Cause I want, like, I've tried so many different styles over the years. I mainly stick with the bob, but I've tried kind of like the fade that was in style for a while and like a short hairstyle. I've tried so many different things, but I'm like, what is the best thing for my face? So yeah, I would take that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Before I wrap up the interview, I have a couple more questions, but before I wrap up, I want to ask you, so you're into grooming. I want to ask, is that typically, like, do a lot of women, like, become groomers towards men? Because I never really heard of that before, and I was just wanting to know a little bit more about that.
No, I mean, I think the industry is pretty equal. I mean, there's a lot of men that do women's hair, there's a lot of women that do grooming, and then there's women that do women's hair and men that do grooming. So it's, I don't think there's, when I look around, I don't really see one more than the other. When you take the whole picture of the industry, I don't really see one versus the other. I think it's relationship, because grooming is all about, like, I'm on set with a client for hours, right? And I'm with their team, and there's so much confidentiality, right? They have to trust you. And so I think it's all about relationship that you build with somebody as to if you're being rebooked if you're being rebooked and all of that. It's definitely relationship over if you're male or female. Does someone feel safe around you, you know, because you're just in the room, right? So, yeah.
That might be a nice lead into my next question, which is, what advice would you give to fellow creatives and aspiring hair industry professionals?
Yeah, that's a good one. I love that question, because I think now with social media, so many people see certain hair and makeup artists and they're like, I want to be that, and I'm just going to go straight for it. And my suggestion is, pause. My suggestion is, learn as much as you can before you get, like, in with the big dogs. Like, learn as much as you can. Apprentice. I don't care if you're paid or not. Just learn, get experience under your belt. Because if you go on set and you've never done it before, and let's say a photographer yells at you or something, you might be so hurt that you're like going home crying and you're never gonna, you know, you never wanna do it again. Versus if you had experienced and learned how you maneuver different relationships and how you're supposed to be on set and how you're supposed to be with a client, then you might not take certain things as personal, right? As well as, and that's more of an etiquette thing, right? As well as like learning how to cut someone's hair or how to style their hair. Because if you're on set in a high stressful, everyone needs you, you know, we have 10 minutes left. He has to be on set in 10 minutes, you know, whatever, whatever. And then it's like, I can, under that pressure, confidently achieve my goal. But that only comes from watching other people, experiencing, learning, you know, those things. So that would be a huge thing, as well as understanding your craft. Understanding your craft. I don't think anyone, and this is my opinion, but I think if you're a hairstylist, you should have an understanding into every type of hair. Every type of hair, every culture of hair, you should know the ins and outs. Now, you might not be great at everything. We're not great at everything, right? A lot of people in our industry specialize, and I think that's beautiful, right? Because then you're really good at something. But specializing because you don't know about other things is one thing. Specializing because you're choosing one aspect is my recommendation, right? So I think it's very important to be knowledgeable in every area of the industry. Men, women, every hair texture, every hair color, all of it.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Andrea, this has been a lovely, lovely chat. I've enjoyed speaking with you. I want to turn the floor over to you, and you're going to tell our listener where they can connect with you, either on social media. You can link them to your website or your foundation. I'm going to let you plug away, and you can promote whatever you want to.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening to us today. This has been really fun. Thank you for having me on as well. You guys can find TradeWorks Foundation, my nonprofit, on Instagram, TradeWorks Foundation. We also have a website, trade-works.org. You can find me, Andrea Pizzillo. It's my name on Instagram. Yeah. So I would love to connect with you guys. If you have any questions or anything like that, just hit me up on Instagram and we can go from there.
Lovely. Andrea, thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. This has been fun.
Thank you to Andrea for being a guest. I certainly took away so many great nuggets of wisdom from our chat, and one of them was just really listening. I feel like we're driven so much to social media to put ourselves out there and make the world look at us rather than take the time to really connect with another person. I think it's important when you're trying to build connections to really listen to whoever you're trying to interact with and build a better connection with that person. If you want to learn more about Andrea and her foundation, visit the links in the show notes. Popner Lounge is a two-man operation, rather I should say two-woman operation. It is executive produced by Steph Pham and V. Co. V. Co. serves as the show's creative director, and Steph Pham is the show's host and editor. You can find us on social media at Popner Lounge. For an easy, convenient hub of everything Popner Lounge, visit our website, popnerlounge.com. That's it for this week. Tune in next time for another conversation with a fellow creative. I'm Steph Pham.